Okay, this is the final lesson in our X Factor series, as far as I am concerned. Right, tonight, Pastor Crocker is going to bring a message to wrap everything up. So he's going to summarize and, you know, like, give you another message. But as far as going through all the letters in the acrostic X Factor is concerned, tonight, today, this afternoon, it's the last lesson. Right, relationship. R is relationship. So X, R. X relationship, excellent relationship. So, what's our camp theme verse again? This is the seventh time I'm asking. Well, okay, Russell did it again. Woo! So, Russell, do you get an extra serving of spaghetti just now? No? Tonight, you still can get another special serving. So, that's double serving. By the way, you all may have heard just now, Ray mentioned Russell accepted the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior this morning after the service, after the message, right? But that's not all. When God blesses, He blesses abundantly above all. Tiawei, after that, when we went to the boys' chalet, he approached Brother Luke. Actually, I think you approached my son first, right? Yeah, he asked Samuel, you know, how can he become a Christian? You know, who do I talk to? So, you know, we were there, so Brother Luke and I took Jiawei aside, explained to him the clear presentation of the gospel, and he too prayed to ask the Lord to save him. So two people got saved at camp. Right. Wonderful. Amazing. Right. Actually, last night I went home. Like with all human preachers, we do get discouraged. And I was telling my wife, I think I did a bad job at camp. I've not been preaching well. She says, why? Nobody responded, you know. Like the Eeyore syndrome, nobody responded, you know. And I woke up, then I went to sleep because I knew there was a blood moon, like I told you, you know, in the middle of the night, right? So I prayed, Lord, I'm going to be careful how I sleep, because if I disappear, you know, people come to my house, they're going to see, you know, my clothes just lying there, how I slept. So if you take me, I'll come quickly. And I woke up, oh, well, since I woke up, there's another day, I'm going to preach. And the Lord sure encouraged me abundantly above all that I ever asked. Not just one soul, but two souls. And Russell, of course, Russell's family is one that I knew for many, many years, having grown up together with his parents at a previous church. So he's very dear to my heart, right? And it helps me remember, I think, what, three or four camps ago, his own sister, Leah, you know, was at a youth camp. It was a much smaller camp. I think we were only 12 people then. And she also struggled with that. But after camp that year, Leah was gloriously saved. And now, about 4 years later, her brother, the youngest brother, is saved. So if you have a brother, a sister in your family who is still not safe, perhaps your father or mother is still not safe, don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on asking the Lord, Lord, please speak to them. Again, it's not our effort. Because if it's our effort, you know, nobody can be safe. Right? But because God is good, His word shall not return unto Him void. Right? His word shall not return unto Him void. Okay, let's get back to our lesson. In our lesson today, this afternoon, we'll look at the letter R, relationship. Right, we have discussed so far what, you know, how that we as Christians must have a spirit of excellence when it comes to the things of God. We cannot do things half-heartedly. We cannot do things, you know, like, oh yeah, good enough. You know, we must do things the best that we can ever do. The best. We must give God the best. Today, we'll see how this spirit of excellence will be applied to our relationships. Relationships. Okay, we have a warning. So we start this lesson today with a warning. Okay, we look at this passage of scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21. Book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21. Chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 21. Okay, let you turn to it for a while. As you turn to it, I'm going to read it. It says here, Jesus said, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Right? Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Right? So, what does this mean? It means that not everyone that says, I'm a Christian, will enter into heaven. Not everyone that goes to church will enter into heaven. Right? I think just now one thing, you all went to Long John Silver, right? When you went to Long John Silver, do you turn into fish? No, it's a fish shop. Right? No, huh? The same way, when you walk to McDonald's, do you turn into a Big Mac? No. So you go to a church, do you become a Christian? No. Right? Just going to church does not make you a Christian. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So this morning we look at obedience. So if we do the will of God, that means we obey God, then we can attain heaven. That means if we obey God in our faith, like what Russell and Jiawei did this morning, we can attain heaven. We can attain heaven. But if we just come to church, we can come to church every single day also, but we never trusted in the Lord Jesus, we can never attain that. Okay? So being a Christian in name is not the same as being a Christian in deed. Alright? So let's read this this passage again. Just now it says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Last year our camp theme was Keep It Real. Some of you are wearing that Keep It Real t-shirt. There was a great spiritual revival among our youth last year. Right, a lot of young people were concerned, you know, that they were not bearing enough fruits for the Lord. And so they questioned whether they were indeed saved or not. Right? So it was good to see them, you know, really being serious, you know, whether they are indeed real Christians. Right? Because the theme verse for last year was from the book of Matthew, but I'll read this passage here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 to 20, it says here, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Or if we localize this, do you pluck mangoes from durian trees or durian trees from banana trees? No, right? A durian tree will bear durian fruit and a banana tree will bear bananas. Right? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, that means a bad tree, brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, but neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down, that means cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. That was the theme verse last year. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Okay? So we need to be careful that our relationship with God is a real one. Right? Real one. We can pray a prayer. You can even pray the prayer of accepting the Lord 100 times, but that will not save you. Sure not, Pastor. It's in our gospel tract. Yeah. If you pray only in your head, it will never save you. But if you realize that you're a sinner, you're lost, you pray it from your heart only once, that once will save you. Right? How do you know whether you're saved or not? By your fruits. Everybody will know you. Okay. We need to be careful and serious about this. We must always be checking our lives. You know what? Whether we are indeed real Christians. Because of course we don't have to, you know, every time we come to church, I don't know whether I'm safe or not. Then you pray, okay, I'm safe. Next week, I don't know whether I'm safe or not. Okay, that's unhealthy also. But sometimes it helps to re-examine ourselves. And then the re-examination will cause what? If you are grounded in the faith, it will cause you to be even more grounded so that you'll be more firm in the faith. Right? More and more firm. So that one day eventually you will no longer need to ask yourself whether or not you're a Christian, because why? You are that well-grounded tree of God, so to speak. You're so well-grounded that you are bearing so much fruit. You know, that you yourself can even know that you're bearing fruit for the Lord, right? The reason why sometimes a lot of us doubt whether we are Christians or not is that our lives are not bearing fruit. And today we'll see why that is so. You know, how we can have an excellent relationship with God. Right? You know, among our group, some we know of a few who have come to our youth fellowship, you know, appeared sincere, right? Even raised their hand, wanted to be saved, and then, okay, then they pray a prayer. But after a while, they're gone again. And then Brother Luke met some of them, and then one of them says, "Oh, I just pray a prayer. I just want to get Brother Luke's," he said he wanted to get Brother Luke's acceptance. Or he wanted Pastor Edwin to think that I'm a good boy, you know. But that is not right. I don't need to think that you're a good boy. All of us are bad boys and bad girls. Only Jesus is good, right? We all just need to impress. No, you don't even need to impress God. We just need to accept God. Just need to accept God, right? Accept Jesus. I don't want any of you here to go to hell through the doors of our church. Right? I would rather that I preach heavily, strongly, and probe and ask you questions that shake your faith, so to speak, rather than I don't shake any of your faith. Then everybody just walk on the broad way. I'm a Christian and happy to know it. La 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 la. And then end up in hell. Because why? You have not realized that you are a sinner. And when you prayed the prayer to accept the Lord, you didn't really mean it. You just did it because, oh, my friend did it. So, you know, let me just do it. You know, I will challenge you. I will ask you probing questions. And if I do that, and if you are offended, then please examine your heart. Because the Lord Jesus wants you to examine your heart. Right? All these are so that you will not be deceived into thinking that you can just be the way you are and hope that heaven will be your home waiting for you simply because you said a few sentences from your head, but really you didn't mean it. Right? The Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." If you are one of God's children, when God tells you something, you will know, you will hear, and you will follow. You will follow. Are you one of God's sheep? Right. Perhaps this is a question you need to ask yourself. Right. Are you? Are you one of God's sheep? Okay. Now we go to the subsection here on relationships. We all know that we need to have love. Need to have love. Right. We have gone through a relationship series in our youth fellowship, and we have discussed how that in order for us to love properly, we need to have an excellent love for our Lord Jesus first. You know, in that series, what I said was, in any relationship you have, you must always have a three-way relationship. Huh? Three-way, Pastor? 那个什么? Triangle relationship? Third party? Potong jalan how? Okay, the reason why I say that is, God must be that central person in your relationship. So imagine a triangle. This is the top, the apex, the top of the triangle. Okay, so God is here, you, and the other person. Sorry, I don't have three hands. Okay, so God is in the middle, you and the other person, or the other thing. Could be something else, right? So if you want to have a good relationship with, let's say you want to have a good relationship with your parents, if you have a good relationship with God, the relationship with your parents will always be strong because God will help you. God is kind of like the, you know, the strong link. Could be a boy or a girl, right? A boy here, a girl here, you like each other. But if your focus is not on one another, but on God first, and then your relationship with each other is going to be very strong. Right? But if it's, okay, God is out of the picture, right? It's just a boy and a girl. The girl does something. Maybe goes out with another boy. Jealous, angry. Then what happened? Breaks. Gone. But if both of them have a strong relationship with God, both of them honor God, they will both of them do things, you know, that are faithful to God, then naturally they will be faithful to each other. Right? And that is the pattern, that is the model for any of you who want to enter into a relationship, you need to follow. If you are a Christian, whether you are a Christian or not yet a Christian, this should be the model you aspire to, because this is the only model that can guarantee longevity in your relationship. Guarantee. 包价. Huh? Guarantee. Because why? Because God is always faithful. Even if the other party is not, God is always faithful. And as a result, if both of you have this strong relationship with the Lord, God will help you to be faithful with each other. Right? With each other. Okay. So let's look at one passage of scripture that is not often used in a message on love, but you will understand this challenge from our Lord. And I'm actually amazed, you know. You know, Brother Jason came on Tuesday night to preach, right? On the sea, Christ focus. So he actually was in Thailand. I was on Facebook messaging him and said, I told him, okay, this is what we are going to teach. This is our series. You can either preach an independent message or you can preach one of the letters in the acrostic X factor. Then he already thought of C. Then when I replied, say, you can do this, he said, "Oi, brother, very good lah, spirit led. I also thought of Christ focus. So let's do it." So, okay, I thought, wow, good. God is in it. So he came, he did all the thing. And unknowing to me, the activity that he got you all to do on the purpose in your life, actually I wrote this before he did all this. Later on, you come to that. And then the things that he did all fit nicely into what we are going to discuss, both, you know, earlier this morning as well as now in our message today. In fact, even this passage, he covered it in the Gospel of John chapter 21. Now you can turn to this one because it is quite a lengthy passage. John chapter 21, verse 15 onwards, we'll read to verse 19. John chapter 21, from verse 15, we'll read to verse 19. Okay, you have that? So it says here, "And when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? And then Peter answered, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. So Jesus said to Peter, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter answered, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, Feed my sheep. Jesus said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because Jesus said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Very, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I tell you the truth. I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you want to go, right? Whither you would. But when you will be old, you will stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you whither you would not. This spake Jesus, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he said unto him, Follow me." Alright? You say, "Pastor, yeah, I know here's asked about lovers thou me, but usually don't you turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, the famous love chapter and all that." Okay, let's look at this first. Okay? Lovers thou me more than this. Jesus asked Peter, first time, lovers thou me more than this. More than what? Perhaps it was the fishing business that he was doing. Perhaps it was his friends, John and all that. Lovest thou me more than this? What is it? Right? You wrote in your purpose, in your purpose slip. What is it that is before God now? Do you love God more than this? So Peter answered, Yes, Lord. First time he says, Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Then Jesus asked him the total of three times, Do you love me? Lovest thou me, right? Jesus asked him three times. Okay, who knows when was another time when Peter was asked three times the same question? So here he was asked three times, Do you love me? he was asked before 3 times another question. Yes, Julian? Ah, okay. Julian is right. So our youngest youth campers have been answering questions. Your older ones, shame on you. Okay. So Julian said, there was a time when Jesus was taken to be crucified. He was caught by the Jewish soldiers and all that. And then in the council, when they were trying Jesus, you know, Peter was hiding there, and then somebody says, "You look very familiar. Hey, you Jesus gang, right? Donovan, you Jesus gang, right?" He said, "Maybe." No, he didn't even say maybe. He said, "No." Say no, huh? Right, in Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62, you can read that, right? You can read that, right? You know, you can read that. And then a maid will ask him, you know, another time, "You look very familiar. You must be one of them." And then at the end, Peter not just said no, like what Brother Jason said, you know, reading the passage of scripture, what did he do? He cursed and swear. Beep, 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 beep. Ah. "I don't know Jesus." And immediately what happened? The cock crew. Over here, I think a lot of the cocks, I think, kena killed for chicken rice already. You don't hear. Normally in Kampung, I go Pulau Ubin, if you go in the morning, you can hear. Coo, coo, coo. Right? So immediately the cock crew. And then Peter remembered the words of the Lord. Because the Lord said to him that before the cock crows, he will deny him 3 times. Right? It says here, you know, he cursed and swear of a truth and all that. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, you shall deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. This happened after Peter had what? Ya, ya, papaya. You know, confidently, he says, tell the Lord, he says, and the Lord said unto Simon, 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 in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34, if you want to turn to it. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." And Peter answered unto Jesus, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both into prison and to death." Peter said that. Right, so the Lord says, "Simon, Simon, Peter, I'm praying for you. The devil wants to have you." Right, so if somebody, one of our youth, come and pray, is there a need? You need to be humble. Don't say, "No, I'm all right. You know, I'm doing well." Because pride goes before a fall. Right, pride goes before a fall. And the same way, he says, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you. If you are caught, I'll go with you into prison. If you die, I will die with you." Right, and what happened when Jesus was caught? People asked him, "Are you one of Jesus' gang?" "No. Xiang lai, wong pat." Like what maybe Jian Long would say. "I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is." Then he cursed and swear. Right? But the other passage in John chapter 21, when we read about when Jesus asked him again, "Do you love me?" Right, before the verses that we read, it says here in John chapter 21, verse 3 to 6. Simon Peter said unto them, "I go a fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with you." They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the other side, and ye shall find." And this time, they did not ask, they did not question the Lord anymore. Because this is like suddenly, really? This event sounds familiar. Because when they were walking with the Lord on earth, before they followed the Lord, they also went fishing. And they also caught nothing. And the Lord also said the same thing, "Cast your net on the other side." And they says, "We have gone fishing a long time. It's now daytime. Hello, who are you? Who are you? You sure you know what you're doing? Okay lah. Satisfy what I throw. So when they did that, they probably threw on the other side. They probably siao. But when they pull out, what happened? A lot of fish until the net almost broke, the Bible says. And in this same passage, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. They did not argue. It says here, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. So it's the same thing. They also caught a lot of fishes just because Jesus said, throw your nets on the other side. Right, and then after that, Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than this? So the Lord preceded with a miracle, so to speak. So in your life, sometimes you are discouraged. You may have failed the Lord. Your relationship with the Lord may have been broken, not ideal. You are a Christian, backslidden. You know, failed the Lord a few times until you even feel, maybe I'm not a Christian. And then the Lord does a little miracle in your life. A little small thing. It could be anything. And then the Lord asks you, lovest thou me more than this? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than this? This time round, it was a different Peter. It wasn't the proud Peter that says, I will go with you anywhere. This one was probably a Peter who was facing an identity crisis. You know what's an identity crisis someone goes through? Like, he goes through, then he doesn't know whether, you know, I don't know who am I. You know, whether I'm, you know, a lot of ABCs, American-born Chinese, they go through identity crisis when they come to Asia. You know, they don't know how to speak the language, like speaking Mandarin and all that. They also have not gotten used to our Mipok and all that. And then, am I Chinese? Am I American? So they're like that. So Peter was probably going through that a spiritual identity crisis. Who am I? What is the purpose of my life? Were probably questions on his mind. See, I wrote it out here. What is the purpose of my life? And Brother Jason asked you the same question, right? So it's the same question the Lord is probably asking you now. What is the purpose of your life? Your life. Not someone else's next to you, but your life. Your life. And so it is with many Christians today. We can be saved, get really enthusiastic, and we'll vow to the Lord when we get saved. We'll go anywhere and everywhere with Him and be a fisher of men like He says He will make us to be. But what happens after a few weeks or months? We fall into sin or we lose steam, right? We do, tiring, nobody wants to listen. Nobody listens anymore. Give up, throw in the towel, right? And you know, and then we some of our friends laugh at us. Hey, you Christian, hey, you siao, hey, holy Joe. No fun on Christian. Then laugh, then you get affected. Some of you get affected. And I know this is a true thing. You know, because as teenagers growing up, you have friends outside that have no desire for God. So when you have desire for God and you want to present that desire to God, of God, to them, what do they do? Wow, you good, eye-opener. Can you tell me more? Is that what a commonly? Nilan? Do you normally get this kind of feedback? When you tell your friends about Jesus at school, they say, oh, Nilan, you good. Can you tell me more? No. Normally what? Siao. You crazy. Where got time to listen to you? Usually, yeah, religious, no outdated lah. You study science. Man is in control. They will tell you that. And then after a while, because after you get saved, I want to tell everybody about Jesus. But then you meet all this resistance. Don't want to say, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Then after a while, don't do anything already. Then we become defeated Christians. We go back fishing, just like Peter did. We go back to what we were doing before, you know, and don't care about anything of God. And it is at this humbling time of life that the Lord usually appears again, because when you are still before the Lord, you can hear Him. He asks you, do you love me? Do you love me? Poor thing. probably the Lord will say, come, come to your Lord. Let me give you a hug. It is all right. Do not do things of your own on your own strength. Come, I will give you the power. And he gives you a big hug. And you hug him back, because when you trust in the Lord Jesus, you know, when we went through the first few lessons, when we do things, we do with God's power. In our relationship with God, we need to have a proper relationship with him. When that relationship is so strong, others do not matter, only Jesus. And then our lifeblood, the spiritual lifeblood, starts to flow again. And then we begin to do great and marvelous things for the Lord. Not because we are great, but because the Lord is great. And because we allow him to use us, we can do great things for him. Right? It was with a miracle that the Lord showed Peter. And then after that, he asked him the question, do you love me? Do you love me? Okay, let me give you a story in my life. Recently, what happened? Some of y'all, maybe you've come to my house before. Y'all have seen my big fish tanks. You have some of y'all seen my big fish tanks. Very nice, right? All my big arowanas, big fishes. I love keeping fishes. Ever since I was 10 or 11 years old, I started keeping fish. You know, aquarium fish. Then my aquarium fish started, you know, I became, you know, I've got all the filtration system in place. If you ask me anything, why your fishes died, I can probably tell you why. You know, one reason or another, water or conditions, or I can tell you, because I'm that much of an expert at keeping fish already. Okay? To me, keeping fish was just a hobby. It released my mind. I go back, I look, sit there, fish swimming. Relax, ma, peaceful, right? So there was one time, you know, I don't know what gave me the thought. I just decided, I guess maybe I should just sell away all these fishes, sell away all these fish tanks, so that I'll have more time to do short-term missions. You know, maybe over the weekend I can go into China, India, or wherever, just to do some mission work. Okay, so that was my intention. So I told my wife that, you know, I say, I think I sell my fish. Then she asked me, you sure or not? Maybe you sell these two, you keep one. So she even asked me, just keep one fish tank, don't sell all. Because she knows how much I love fishes. So I say, aiyah, never mind, if you want to sell, you want to do, if you really feel God wants you to do something, then you just give up everything. Actually, I did not feel, I thought I would have this emotional attachment to the fishes that I, you know, wouldn't let go. You know, when I gave away my dog when I got married, I cried. I kept the dog for many years. He was with me sitting down when I was studying. Then when I got married, my wife actually doesn't like dogs. So I gave away the dog. So it shows how much I love her, right? More than a dog. Okay. So anyway, back to the story of the fishes. So when I gave away the fish, I thought I would have some emotional attachment, but strangely, I did not. It was kind of like very, like as if it were like doing business like that, selfish. I go on the forum, I post, okay, I've got this fish for sale. People ask, okay, they'll bargain. When they bargain, I didn't say, well, you give me such a low price for my fish. You no respect for me. Usually when, you know, when people want to sell fish on the forum, they say, oh, this guy, wow, too much. Low ball me. Want to swindle me. If a guy offered me a low price, I says, will you take care of the fish? If you will, you can have it. The guy was shocked. Yeah, take it. You take now. Okay, then he took, got the fish. Then after that, he gave me a little bit more extra because I think he felt bad. After that, he asked me, why you give up fish? So I want to do, you know, like Christian ministries, you know, going to places like China, India, then they are not Christians, but they felt, hey, good thing. And then I gave them a gospel tract. You know, that allowed me to also tell people about Jesus. Then after I sold all my fishes, I saved one. So there was one big fish, the most expensive one. I was going to KL one night, one morning, and the fish was gasping. I suspect because of new water, so it was dying, and I couldn't do anything about it. I didn't really cry, I just SMS my good friend, good buddy in the who keeps fish with me. I says, if my wife calls you, please go to my house and check out my fish. I think it's gonna die. Then he says, ah, what are you gonna do about it? Then I replied to him, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then he asked me, hey, you hold sable. You immediately you can SMS, you're not sad. I said, really, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. If the Lord wants the fish to die, then die. I mean, sometimes people say, oh, sayang, can sell for a few thousand dollars. The Lord takes away, takes away. Okay, so once all these fish tanks were gone from my house, so I thought, okay, now it's cleared. I haven't even booked flight tickets to China, never, haven't even contacted any missionaries there. So I also haven't done anything. So I basically just faithfully was sharing the word. And I also was praying to the Lord. Lord, it's been a long, long time since I've led someone to the Lord. Right? If I remember correctly, I was saved at 12. The first time I led a person, pray with a, go with a person, explain to him the salvation plan, and pray with a person, was only when I was 26 or something. That was how long I had to wait. So my life was, as it were, fruitless, if you will compare. But I was still faithful doing the Lord. Then, okay, one person got saved. Then I was saved, pray Lord. Been a long time since that time. Yeah, I may have shared the word, but I have not personally been, one-on-one with that person, pray. And I didn't even ask God for anything. I just shared with God. God, this is what it is. It's been a long time. So it was, I remember it was the month of October last year, 2010. That was the month when all my fish tanks were sold, cleared. And in that month alone, in our church, through our various outreaches, youth, and church and all that, about a total of 10 people were saved in our church in that month alone. And then when I look back and I say, when you give things up for God, God really, hey, you give it up for me? Don't worry, I'll give you 100-fold. He didn't give to me. I just did what I needed to do because I just felt this was what I needed to do. The fishes were not even taking up much of my time. It was not a bad thing to keep fish. It's just a hobby. But if you're willing to say, Lord, here, Lord, another one, my money. Lord, my time. Lord, my whatever your degrees. You put it down at Jesus' feet. Lord, here, all these are yours. See fit how you want to use it. And then the Lord will show you like what he showed Peter. Cast your net on the other side and you pull in. And great was the multitude of fishes. I was overwhelmed. Every week, I was leading someone from the youth fellowship to the Lord Jesus. One of them, a Muslim boy. First time I've ever even come so close to leading a Muslim person, to even share the word of God with a Muslim person. And here, God is telling me, here, I give you this privilege. Lead this boy to Christ. Right, if you are here today, you're feeling that your life, God, I'm not doing anything. Examine your life. In your relationship, is it excellent? Right? In your relationship, is there something, someone, that could be better placed at Jesus' feet? And when you do that, God is going to give you 100-fold more than you can ever ask or think. Just because you wanted to have an excellent relationship with him. It's not a relationship that, I'm a Christian, good enough, I'm going to heaven. But because you know that Jesus loves you, died for you, you want to love Jesus supremely. And because you love him supremely, you lay down everything else on his feet. He may allow you to take some of that back and use them to further his gospel. But before you can take them back, lay them down and says, God, here they are. Here they are. Right?